Good morning.
Good morning.
In today's Gospel from St. Luke, Jesus teaches his disciples and us, "It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. It is the Lord God's promise from the beginning to Abram and Siri." In today's first lesson from Genesis to the early church as descendants of Abram and Siri, as taught in today's second lesson from Hebrews, and to Jesus' little flock in today's Gospel, of which we are part in our assembly as the body of Christ. We do not fear Jesus' concluding teaching today that you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an unexpected hour. We are ready. In fact, we pray, "Come, Lord Jesus."
When we are laid low by our sin and guilt, God our Father makes us alive together with his Son, Jesus, our Savior and Lord, forgiving us all our sins by taking our sins to his cross. For our salvation, Jesus sets us free. Rejoice in this great good news. Amen. God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit, grace, mercy, and peace be with you all. Let us pray. Almighty God our Father, you continue to send the Holy Spirit to illuminate your Son Jesus as the holy life and light of his Holy Catholic Church. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, continue to open our hearts, minds, and souls to the eternal riches of your forgiveness, grace, love, mercy, and eternal life in Jesus, that we remain ready to receive and answer Jesus' call and command to serve him in his ministries and missions through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Let us pray for the world, for all victims of any forms of violence, terror, human trafficking, and all displaced peoples, all victims of ethnic, racial, gender, sexual, political, and religious discrimination and violence. all victims of natural disasters, including our brothers and sisters in this country continuing to battle and recover from as well, the wildfires out west, California earthquake, as well as the remnants and the leftover aftermath of hurricane/tropical storm Barry. All victims of human-made disasters, including all the victims of the recent murders and woundings, the mass shootings in California, Texas, and Ohio. And we continue to pray for our legislators, not only in this country, but around the world, that the Holy Spirit guides them if legislation is proper. That includes our folks dealing with the border issues, as well as all the immigration and displacement issues that are not just going on in this country, but around the world. And we know that the holy light of Jesus Christ can change things, and that is the most important thing, that we follow his will in those things and pray for our legislators to do as well. All victims of war, warlike activity, conflict, oppression, and strife in Africa, Asia, and the Middle East, including in Afghanistan, South Sudan, Syria, and Yemen. Gracious God, our Father of healing and wholeness, through the power of the Holy Spirit, bring relief in every way you see fit for those impacted by natural disasters, human-made disasters, conflicts, persecutions, and wars. Empower all peoples to reach out to those impacted through the healing power of Jesus Christ. God, our Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we admit our human frailties and recognize we live in a fallen creation. Restore us each and every way as you see fit so that your will is done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. The Lord God promises childless and aging Abram and Sarai that a child of their own will be their heir and that their descendants will number as many as the stars. Abram, and later Sarai, trust and believe the Lord God's promise. And through his faith, first Abram and then Sarai are considered righteous by the Lord God. The first lesson is from the book of Genesis. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me, for I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, you have given me no offspring, and so a slave born in my house is to be my heir. But the word of the Lord came to him, this man shall not be your heir. No one but your very own issue shall be your heir. He brought him outside and said, look toward heaven and count the stars, if you are able to count them. Then he said to him, so shall your descendants be. And he believed the Lord, and the Lord reckoned it to him as righteousness. Word of God, word of life. Abram and Sarai, renamed by the Lord God Abraham and Sarah, exemplify the life of belief, faith, and trust in the Lord God's promises that all of the people of the Lord God exemplify in every age. Abraham's and Sarah's belief, faith, and trust in the Lord God's promises allowed them to face an unknown future and to receive the promises of the Lord God, including the birth of their child Isaac, even in their very old age. The second lesson is from Hebrews. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Indeed, by faith our ancestors received approval. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to set out for a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he set out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he stayed for a time in the land he had been promised, as in a foreign land, living in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked forward to the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, he received power of procreation, even though he was too old, and Sarah herself was barren, because he considered him faithful who had promised. And therefore, from one person, and this one as good as dead, descendants were born, as many as the stars of heaven, and as innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. All of these died in faith without having received the promises, but from a distance they saw and greeted them. They confessed that they were strangers and foreigners on the earth. For people who speak in this way make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of the land that they had left behind, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. Indeed, he has prepared a city for them. Word of God, word of life.
Today, Jesus teaches his disciples and us through the power of the Holy Spirit to invest our hearts, minds, strengths, and souls only into serving him and the ongoing reign of his kingdom. Instead of living a self-centered life, Jesus' disciples receive and give thanks for his forgiveness, grace, love, mercy, and eternal life, and are always ready to serve Jesus in his ministries and missions on behalf of his people. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 12th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said in teaching his disciples and the crowds that continued to gather around him, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Be dressed and for action and have your lamp lit. Be like those who are waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that they may open the door for the master as soon as he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves whom the master finds alert when the master comes. Truly, I tell you, the master will fasten his belt and have them sit down to eat, and the master will come and serve them. If the master comes during the middle of the night or near dawn and finds the slave so, blessed are those slaves. But know this, if the master of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Let us pray. Grace, Heavenly Father, thank you for gathering us here along with billions of Christians around the world to continue to give thanks for this holy ground, this Sabbath time that you commanded your Israelite people thousands of years ago through your prophet Moses to keep. This commandment is a gift, and it is an instruction to come here and bow our knee to you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. To be filled, Father God, with your Son's righteousness and his precious body and blood, forgiven of our sins in simple elements of bread and wine, receiving the waters of holy baptism, where we become the body of Christ together. And as the body of Christ, we have the infinite armor of Christ as well to go with the Holy Spirit's help and guidance out into the world, knowing as someone may take our earthly life, but they cannot take our soul, Father God, because your Son came into this world to claim it and also to save it and never condemn it. And because we are part of his little flock, eternity is ours here and now. And we get to go from this place in our actions, words, and deeds, and make your kingdom a better place in an often troubled world that continues to need to hear and to see in action the wonderful faith of Christian people and love of our Lord and Savior. And the Holy Spirit, again, helps and guides us to do so. It is in Christ's holy name that we pray. Amen. Good to be with you here. Continue on our study of St. Luke's Gospel. And these two Sundays, last Sunday and today, are ones where Jesus continues to teach us about what is important in life. What are we doing with our wealth? What are our treasures? What are things that we may think important, or the evil one would have us think important things are in this life? And Jesus, right out of the gate in his teaching last week, of course, it was hard because it was, well, not hard, it was a little more difficult because it was a parable, but today, it's pretty simple. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also, and that is fact, and that is truth. And isn't it true for our world today? And the evil one saying, oh, get fancy clothes, get new shoes, get cars, accumulate wealth, power, status. Jesus says, if that's where your heart is, then that's where your treasure is. Rise above that. Seek first the things of the kingdom of heaven. And last Sunday, he taught us a parable about that. And it's the parable of the rich fool. And this guy really thinks that his treasures are earthly, doesn't he? If you remember the parable one here. But he is already wealthy beyond our wildest imaginations in his day and time. And he's so wealthy that his barn is already full to capacity with all the crops that he thinks is great because he grew them or his people grew them, not giving thanks to the Lord for the Lord giving the crops. And out of his great egotistical mind, he says, you know what? I'm going to show off to the whole town. I'm not going to give them the things that are in this barn or share them. I'm going to tear it down, which most likely meant all that stuff was destroyed. But I'm going to bring a new barn and build it, I should say, and build this new, much bigger, more grand. And I'm going to fill it to the brim with all my crops and all my things. And then I'm going to tell my soul, soul, eat, drink, and be merry. I'm number one. And what does God our Father say? You fool! You are not rich towards me. You are not rich towards neighbor. This very night, I am coming for your life. And these things that you create and think that are valuable are not. They mean nothing. Jesus is harping on that. These last 2 weeks, be rich towards Father, God in heaven, and be rich towards neighbor. On that hangs his two commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, and your neighbor as yourself. And where the treasures are, that's where your richness is, towards God or towards ourselves. And Jesus seems to give us another warning today. Be alert, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. And I've been in churches where last Sunday's gospel and that phrase from Jesus have been treated with fire and brimstone. Where are your riches? Be careful, all you accumulators out there. Sell your things and give alms to the poor. Jesus is coming at an unexpected hour. Defeat that bad theology. Has a nice ring to it. Defeat that bad theology. Come on, I'm revved up. This third service. Jesus is very clear today. Little flock, it is my Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom right here, right now. And what is that kingdom? And what is that treasure? The only begotten Son, the true richness of the Father, the one who is our true treasure. He's right in our midst here, as he was thousands of years ago, saying, I'm your treasure. Rejoice! My Father has sent me to save you and never condemn you. Little flock, it is my good pleasure to give you eternal life and forgiveness of sin out of my great grace and mercy. Little flock, I love you beyond your wildest imaginations. And that's part of me giving you the kingdom. Little flock, now that you have me as your treasure, now that you're seeking me and the richness of helping your neighbors who are my brothers and sisters, little flock, go out and tell other ones, all my brothers and people, that they can be part of the flock, and theirs too, from us, are the treasures of the kingdom of heaven. And it's very clear there's an inventory being kept. The Father is clear about the inventory in the parable, isn't he? He's watching all the things this guy accumulates, this egotistical man, who doesn't love God, who has no reverence for God, or doesn't care about neighbor, who doesn't think or know what real treasure is and is not rich towards God. Jesus says, little flock, don't worry about those things. I know you're doing the best you can. Little flock, I see how you're giving away the kingdom of heaven. Little flock called Christ Lutheran Church, the small piece of billions of Christians around the world. I'm watching you, and I'm pleased. I believe Jesus has been watching this all along. We've always said, this is not our church. This is his church. Because he's the treasure. He's the one. He's the reason that it's happening through the power of the Holy Spirit. I believe he looks at this picture and all things the building team has been doing. And he says, look how welcoming this is. Look, when people come into the narthex that's beyond here, the doors, how wide it is. Where I know my people of Christ Lutheran Church, you little flock, you'll be welcoming those who come in. And people will come through those doors of my house and they will say, I'm in search of forgiveness, and you will give them the treasure of me that is forgiveness of sin. They're in search of mercy and you will give it from me, the one who is ultimately merciful. I am going to be the treasure you're giving away, and I also see that you're making it functional so that it can be used Jesus has to be watching with great dismay churches all over the world, where the only time you see a car in a parking lot is on Sunday morning or wherever they worship. And you can drive by 6 days a week and there's never anybody there. Isn't that sad? Isn't that sad? Jesus looking at us saying, oh, but I've been watching what you're doing. And I also see that you can expand it. So you're already keeping in mind the treasure that you will be giving away through me for those who come after you. But I've also been watching financially what makes you rich as Christ Lutheran Church. I know about your cars and your clothes and your bank accounts and all those things. But I watch how you're rich, giving me away as a treasure. And the finances and the great scheme of things, I watch how you say yes or no to my ministries and missions. And aren't you glad your pastor says yes all the time? No, probably not. You're glad all the time. Jesus is watching. And the functional nature of the building, he has to be so pleased. Ah! You're going to have Girl Scouts on Monday. The new troop coming out of Harborview Elementary School that Vicky, out of the goodness of her heart, has taken over because the troop leader left. And the troop leader left without doing the fundraiser of the Girl Scout cookies. She's been out beating down the bushes to sell cookies. Ah, oh, Jesus says, I see you on Tuesday. Your current Girl Scout troop is going to be there. And on Wednesdays, the Daisy Scouts, which Vicky is also going to head up. She's doing Mondays and Wednesdays, Diane in the middle. Ah, Christ Lutheran Church, I see how you're using the building and this wonderful thing that I've given you. I heard there might be a youth group starting on Sunday, so those people can learn about the treasure that I am. And I heard maybe there's an Alcoholics Anonymous going to be in the building. But Carol Sonello better hurry up because she's running out of days. Are you excited about these things? Is Jesus watching us give away the treasure financially? You see those cookies over there? Jesus sent Vicky to the troop and the troop to us because we say yes. It'd be so easy as a church to say, well, Vicky, not now. We're doing shirts and baskets and all the things. And isn't glad. Vicky said, hey, well, we'll take care of the cookies because I know Pastor Dave will say yes. And Jesus is excited because he's saying, you're giving the treasures of me from a troop that was suffering. And now that a troop that has the funds that it needs to go camping and doing all those things, that is giving away the treasure of Jesus in heaven. That is incredibly easy good news, isn't it? Be excited about these things. I'm not the only one saying yes around here. Louise has been doing it too. Oh, in this incredible good news. Being a little flock, giving away the kingdom of heaven, which is the Lord himself. Give thanks. And I mean this theologically sincerely for the Evangelical Lutheran Conference and Ministerium that we are part of. It is truly a little flock, but profound in theology to the Holy Catholic Church. I always give thanks for the ELCM, not because they came and helped me be rostered, but because of what they stand for. I love gathering with the people. We had a couple days of meetings, and isn't it a great joy to have our non-liturgical Presbyterian now part of the family, as well as Pastor Carl out in Seattle. But there's four solos that you may have learned in catechism that ELCM stands for, and they're foundational to the entire body of Christ. And they get distorted in the Holy Catholic Church all too often. Sola means first or only. And we stand for Christ alone. It's him. And his death and resurrection is salvation. And nothing can be added or taken away from that. That may seem simple, but it's not. It is based in Christ alone. And in Christ alone, where do we learn about him? Scripture alone. Our church body is grounded in Scripture, the Old and the New Testament. You may interpret it differently, but that's the foundation. You want to know about the Messiah from Genesis to Revelation? Read the Holy Scriptures. It's foundational. Not the confessions of the Lutheran Church. Scripture. And can you tell I get excited about these things? It's founded in grace alone. There is no way we deserve or can earn salvation in any way, shape, or form. It is the grace of Christ alone that is promised and lived out in the Holy Scriptures. And that is an incredible gift to share with the world. And I will tell you that that is getting distorted, including in the former congregational body that we came from. Pray for the Holy Catholic Church that it remains founded in these things. And how do we know this? Another gift. Faith alone. There is no way that Dave Connell can know who Jesus Christ and believe in Him on his own. It's because the Holy Spirit has instilled faith and brought that light. And that is an incredible gift. To be grounded. Christ alone. Scripture alone. Grace alone. And faith alone. We may be a small little flock called the ELCM, but that is a profound message to continue to carry out in the world. And that's exciting. If you don't think it's exciting, I'm sorry, I do. Because I see it as foundational to the Christian faith around the world. Living that out, little flock, Jesus has to be so excited to see the treasure, the seed growing over at Lake Ware Middle School, where we have 80% or more of the children living at or below the poverty line, right in our backyard. We've always supported them. But out of the fracture in us forming a new congregation, have you seen the Holy Spirit who's alive and well? Have you seen the Holy Spirit is alive and well, the treasure? Now Hope Lutheran Church is actively engaged, and they put this thing in there called the Rock. And now the children have a place in the school where they can go and get our pencils and school supplies. And did you notice that because of the efforts of our social ministry team, including Louise, we now have connections from Hope Lutheran Church that say, fantastic! We'll tell you what we need, and if we need hygiene items, we'll let you know. And if we need underwear, we'll let you know. And if the kids need sneakers, you know what we're saying. Yes, let us know. Oh, you're going to be busy shopping. Yippee. And then the incredible good news of that, if it wasn't for all this and the work of the Holy Spirit, we never would have known about tutoring. You want to keep kids out of gangs, out of drugs, out of violence, give them a fighting chance. Give them school supplies. Help them read, write, and do math. And help them not to be picked on because they have their supplies and clothes. We're not going to save every child, but we're going to save a lot of them because the kids at that school know Christians care. And that little flock is giving away the treasure of Christ and letting the Holy Spirit do the rest. Be excited. But each one of us is a little flock. You ever think yourself as a little flock, a little Christian flock all by yourself? Well, you are. Have fun with it. The Holy Spirit's always working. Give away the treasure of the Lord. You know, I have to call the hospitals a lot around here. Have you noticed that? And I know all the numbers. I can rattle them all off. Villages, 751, 8,000. Advent, Ocala, 351, 7,200. Ocala Regional, 401, 7,000. Or 401, 1,000. Oh, cool. West Marion, you need to know that one. 291, 3,000. And the list goes on and on and on. From Leesburg to Gainesville. One of the things I do is on the calls, I get to know the operators. Do you do things like that? I called the Villages Hospital to find out about Gary Barris on Friday after returning from the trip to Pennsylvania. He was still there in room 422. I recognized the people's voices. And it happened to be Francis. Hi. Welcome. This is the Villages Regional Medical Center. How may I help you? Hey, Francis, how are you? It's Pastor Dave. Oh, I'm doing well. How are you? I'm fantastic. You hear me say that a lot, don't you? Yeah. Happy Friday, Francis. Aren't you glad it's Friday? Oh, boy, am I glad it's Friday. And she has this accent, a southern drawl. It's really cool. And she said, yeah, we're looking forward to it. And I said, hey, I'm trying to find out. She says, no, auto key. No, she did that before when she started to tell me auto was there. And I said, no, I'm looking for Gary Barris. And I said, oh, look him up. And she said, hey, would you do me a favor sometime? Now, this is a person who probably gets more anger on the telephone than care, don't you think? I can't believe I was put on hold for 5 minutes. I can't believe I couldn't get through. What are you doing there? Francis and I lighten up each other's day. She said, you know what? Would you do me a favor? Would you come in and meet me sometime? I'd like to know, see you versus just know you from your voice on the phone. And I said, sure, but I don't know where you are in the hospital. And she said, well, we're right behind the check-in area at the ER. And I said, oh, so you're behind the registration people. And she said, yeah, they've got us in a room with no windows. seize the moment. I said, Francis, you are a light in that room. You think she's going to carry that little flock? Some acts of kindness. I can't wait to meet Francis. Maybe I'll get her here someday. And you'll go, oh, I remember that voice when I called the Villages Hospital. Jesus, again, in his teaching today, says, remember, I am your treasure. Be rich towards me and my brothers and sisters. As you do that little flock, always say, amen, come, Lord Jesus. Do not fear my coming. Rejoice and rejoice to know that I'm here. And let the power of the Holy Spirit help and guide you to go out into the world and give my kingdom to others. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let us pray. O God, our Father of tender compassion, as your Son Jesus heals your sick and welcomes your strangers, through the power of the Holy Spirit, continue to bless those who leave this assembly to share Jesus' gifts of forgiveness and eternal life from his Holy Communion banquet table with our sisters and brothers who are sick, homebound, in skilled care, assisted living, hospice, and hospitals. Grant that they continue to be nourished and sustained by the love and prayers of this community and by the bread of life and wine of salvation that satisfies all hunger and thirst, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. O God, our Father, through the power of the Holy Spirit, we continue to live our lives serving your Son Jesus and his ministries and missions, rooted and built up only in him, and abound in thanksgiving. The blessing of the Holy Trinity, one God, remain upon us and eternally sustain us now and forever. Amen. Lord be with you now.
Go in peace. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, God our Father continues to send us to serve his Son Jesus and his ministries and missions fields. Continue to bring Christ to all people today and every day.